very moment.
Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Hard dead or step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, September 7th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy. Recharge your batteries with the energy and enthusiasm. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, press #1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment, and then I'll see you and put you on the air so you can ask your question. If you're on the web chat, just type in your questions or comments. I'll be able to see them, and I'll read them on the air to our guests. Let me remind you that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. It even happens to me. If your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Again, I'm Flora Brown. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of four and grandma of three. I recently retired from 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels. If you haven't already done so, I invite you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where you can now get a hold of my book, Color Your Life Happy, if you haven't already done so. But if you're ready to make positive changes in your life, you want to grab my book. Now, you can get it from several places. You can get it from Amazon.com, any of the major bookstores or their websites. But when you order it from my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, you will receive an autographed copy. So keep that in mind. My book is full of stories, tips, activities, all of which will speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. So I interview guests from different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, and so on, all of those things that make up happiness. Today, my guest is Scout Wilkins. I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you, Scout, before we begin. How are you there, Scout?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Flora.
Good. Okay, let me tell the listeners a little bit about you, and then we'll get started. Scout Wilkins, queen of enthusiasm, master results coach, and practitioner of neurological repatterning. Don't worry if you don't know what that means. She's going to explain this to us. Like many of us, she tucked away her childhood dream to live the practical life that she thought she should. So we can relate to that. Today, she's going to discuss the path she followed from a paralyzing lack of purpose to living a life full of enthusiasm and vibrant energy. So welcome again, Scout. I'm so happy you were able to join us today.
Thank you, Flora, and thank you for having me aboard. I'm very excited about today's call.
Well, I am too, because we can all use what you have to offer. Enthusiasm, that's for sure. Now, this seems like a fun work to devote your life to. So can you tell us a little bit about how you came to be on this path?
I'd be delighted. Thanks for the question. I actually have been very lucky in my life where I've been part of two different, what I would call tribes, two different groups of people where I felt completely engaged and vibrant and alive. It started, my first work experience started actually when I was 11 years old. I worked at a natural history museum and just spent all my life outdoors doing stuff I loved. And I went on and later was in a building community. I used to be a timber framer. And so there have been several times in my life that I have felt completely engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened for me was there was a time when, sort of in my mid-30s, that I lost that. And I just got to a place where I was flat. I couldn't even imagine what engagement felt like,
mm-hmm.
except that I remembered. I remembered it. And it was such a hard time. I was depressed. I was on antidepressants. I was seeing counselors and therapists and doing everything that I could. But, of course, you know, anybody that's been there knows you don't have a lot of energy to do a lot. But
yeah.
I was just so frustrated. And so finally, I have two sons myself. When the younger one graduated from high school, I just decided that I was not going to live the rest of my life in that passionless place. I had a job. It was a great job, but I didn't have the passion for it that I knew that I wanted in my life, that I knew that I had. And so I quit that job. I tried a variety of things with less rather than more success. Finally, I found a job that excited me out in North Carolina. I live in Montana. So I rented out my house, and I just packed up and left and said, all I know is it's not here. I don't know where it is or what it is, but it's not here. So I headed there, and even though that job didn't turn out to be the end-all, be-all, and I ended up leaving there to go help my parents, actually, when my father got sick, it got me out. It got me off dead center. At least I took a step, and the bottom, the end result was that while I was out helping my parents, I ended up attending this seminar. It was a 3-day seminar on, it was actually a Christopher Howard seminar. And I went to that, and in about, it might have been as much as 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
said, oh, my gosh, here it is. Here it is. Here's my work. This stuff can't be on the planet and me not have every bit of it there is. And so I threw myself into it, just, you know, and made some decisions that more fiscally responsible people might question as far as, you know, the amount of debt I took on to make it happen for myself. But
yes.
It was the best thing I've ever done. The best thing I've ever done.
Wow.
So the end result is having gone through all these trainings I've had, because I trained with other people and we did this work for each other, I've been through the work. So I know I can speak to the fact that it works because I'm, you know, sort of the 300 pounds to good weight person.
Child. This seminar you're referring to, was that neurological repatterning?
That was a piece of it, yeah.
Okay.
That was where I learned that going through his programs over the next few years, that was where I really became certified in the neurological repatterning.
Oh, so I know you're going to tell us a little bit about that as you go along, but I want to find out how you defined enthusiasm, since you're the queen of enthusiasm.
It was
so
fun to label myself that.
Yes, you said that.
You know what? That's what life's all about. Pick what you're going to be, and you know, it's a phrase I heard the other day. To be great, act great, you know, just act it. Do it. Step into it.
Step into great.
So what my favorite definition of enthusiasm actually comes from Eckhart Tolle, the author of The Power of Now, A New Earth, just, you know, one of my favorite thinkers. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with him. He defines enthused as to be filled with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The base words in Greek are you know, filled or, you know, inside and God, or, you know, the spirit. And how he lays it out as far as a way to think about it is that it is purpose and meaning plus enjoyment, where you're right there with not just having a great time, but you're feeling like you're doing something meaningful. You're living according to what you're here to do.
Okay. I like that. Purpose and meaning and enjoyment. My goodness.
Yeah.
Now, how do you experience enthusiasm?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. I would say for me, what it feels like is actually a vortex pulling me along.
Mm.
You know, when you're doing something because you should do it or you have to do it or all those words that we don't like very much, it's hard to get going and you resist it. When you're in a state of, when I am in a state of enthusiasm, I'm just being pulled along, and everything's attractive and compelling and interesting. Things show up, synchronicity happens, and I notice it. I mean, I think that synchronicity is always happening, and it's more a matter of noticing.
Noticing.
So when I'm enthusiastic, I'm really noticing what's showing up.
Now, how do you recognize an enthusiastic person when it's someone else?
Oh, to me, I would say that an enthusiastic person sort of exudes an energy of possibility. They're interested, they're curious, they're open. It's great energy to be around. They're relaxed and vibrant. You know, I guess it's more of that purpose thing that Eckhart Tolle talks about, that, you know, they have a direction they're going, they know why they're doing it, and they love doing it, and so it's just, you know, propelled energy, I guess is the, or it's not even propelled, it's pulled.
Okay.
That openness and curious, I think.
I think I'm about to sneeze, but that's okay.
Pardon me?
I said, I think I'm about to sneeze, but that's okay.
Well, you know, it's radio. Anything happens.
That's right. If I have so many unhappy or negative thoughts, what if I just feel lost and don't even know what there is to be enthusiastic about? I can hear people thinking that right now.
You know what? Like I said, I can so relate to that. I spent about 10 years in that place, and my heart goes out to anybody that's there. And so, you know, I think the first step is to really get motivated to not be there, to say, you know what, anything but this.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that works, a way that works for that is to really sit and get in touch and maybe have a friend prompt you, because you're going to find you sort of resist this inside and you try to sort of whitewash things, but really get in touch with what it's costing you in your life to be in that place.
Okay.
And so when you get in touch with that, the next step is to allow yourself to get completely frustrated. You know, frustration is not a place that we want to spend time in, but it's a place of much greater energy than feeling stuck and flat.
Frustration?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, frustration at least has energy.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're stuck and flat, even though it's not pleasant, you can kind of stay there. I mean, you could sort of stay there for the rest of your life. There's no energy to it. You're just sitting.
Hmm.
When you switch that to frustration, there's some energy that's going to, you're frustrated. You're going to do something about it. And so then frustration, then you decide. You decide to take one step. What's one step I can do to get it? Just one. And just taking that first step will start the ball rolling. It doesn't have to be huge. And, you know, the thing about overwhelm, you know, a lot of people might be feeling like, oh, God, it's such a big project, and I'm so stuck. I see things that I have to do in every direction. The thing about overwhelm is that it's by definition, you're looking at too big of a picture. You're trying to take too big of a bite. So to deal with overwhelm, take little tiny, figure out one little tiny step.
Okay.
One step that will move you to a place of feeling better than you feel right now.
Okay.
And I actually have, if you let me, I have a little tool that people can use that I can walk you through in a few minutes here.
Sure.
And that is, I call it change the question. it's really kind of a fun piece. And the thing to think about when you're in a place where you don't want to be, and maybe you're, the example that I like to use is that you know you want to exercise, but you're not doing it. You're not getting out of bed and exercising. You know,
like
that's a pretty
that?
Common thing. So think about the question that you're asking yourself when you're not exercising. You know, probably at some level, you're saying, why in the heck don't I exercise? And so when you ask that question, what happens inside your mind, inside your being, there is this little errand runner whose job it is to answer your questions and to bring evidence that will support whatever question you ask. So when your question is, why don't I exercise, you've got this little inner person that's going to go out and say, hang on, I'll go find out why. And she comes back and says, well, here's why. You don't like the way it feels. You're tired. You want to stay in bed. It's boring, yada, 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 yada. So she brings back all these excuses and supports the question you have asked. So try flipping the question exactly over and ask the opposite question. Why is it so easy for me to exercise? And you don't have to believe that it's easy. Just ask that question, because what will happen then is that same little errand runner, she doesn't have an agenda. She's just going to support the questions you're asking. So when you ask a positive question, she's going to go find that evidence. And she's going to come back and say, well, I think you're going to look pretty good in the mirror when you get done. You're going to feel better after you get some oxygen moving through your body. You're going to see your friends at the gym. You know, whatever all the reasons are, because there are just as many reasons.
Yes. I love that.
You know,
I visualize an errand runner.
It's a powerful process. So all you have to do, you can do it on everything. You can do it on how you handle money, how you talk to your kids. You know, why is it so easy for me to listen? Why, just always, whatever your question is, frame it with, why is it so easy for me to do whatever it is I want to do? It's it may sound incredibly simple, and it is, but it's very powerful.
Wow. I'm writing this down. I'm making notes so I can remember this.
I actually made a little slideshow of this. I've got a young gal who does some artwork for me, so we made a fun slideshow that's on my website.
Oh, okay. Tell them your website right now so that listeners can go over there and take a look.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, it's scoutwilkins.com. Scout, like little Scout Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. S-C-O-U-T, wilkins.com. And actually, I had some fun. I was excited about doing this interview, and so I made a special page for listeners for a free download of something I made. And so if you go to scoutwilkins.com/happy, you get to your very own page.
Oh, my gosh. I feel
That's what happens when you're enthusiastic. You get all these brilliant ideas and do them.
I'll have to email all of my listeners in case they're not listening live to make sure they get over there and listen. Well, come and listen to the episode, but also get to your site. That's cool.
Oh, that would be great.
I have another question related to energy and enthusiasm. What comes first, the energy or the enthusiasm?
Well, you know, that is a great question. And I think that what I'm going to say to that is that what comes first is the thought. What comes first is you choosing to have both, because energy and enthusiasm come together. And so actually that takes me to another piece that I was imagining offering, and that is that you can get energy and enthusiasm by taking one simple action.
Okay.
And so I'm going to ask you to try this out. I hope, you know, it's that you're not holding onto a phone or something. Well, you can do it holding onto a phone. But this is about changing your physiology.
Okay.
And so I'm going to ask you to start by being in what you could imagine as, or feeling stuck and depressed. And imagine your physiology when you're feeling that way. Imagine, you know, I'm guessing shoulders are drooping, head is hanging.
Yes.
No smile, eyes are, you know, not very twinkly. You're just, you know, kind of hanging out, and it's a very dampened down energy,
mm-hmm.
and that's your physiology. So now holding that physiology and not moving your body, try to feel enthusiastic. Try to feel excited about something.
Oh, you can't.
It's just almost impossible. So turn that one around. Well, I'm not going to leave you there. Turn that one around and adopt the physiology of what you would imagine enthusiasm would feel like. Think of yourself when you're enthusiastic, or somebody you know is enthusiastic. And,
okay.
you know, feel your shoulders going back, your head coming up. There's a smile on your face. You're breathing differently.
Yeah, I stretch my arms out when I'm enthusiastic.
Yeah, there you go. Raise your arms. Maybe, you know what I do that I learned something interesting about? I love this. I have always, when I get excited and enthusiastic, I rub my hands together.
Okay.
It's a natural thing that I do, and I've never really, you know, I've sort of sometimes even been a little embarrassed about it. I've noticed my kids do it too, you know. And
uh-huh.
But I actually watched a video on YouTube not too long ago that showed that as actually a physical way to raise your energy vibration.
Really?
It's
rubbing
to consciously
your hands?
Rub your hands together.
Okay.
For like, I, you know, sometimes I do it for 10 seconds. You'll be amazed at how buzzed you feel. It's pretty phenomenal.
You can feel warmth.
Yeah, yeah, you feel warmth in the hands, but even in your body, you just feel your whole, I mean, you see what they mean when they talk about vibration.
Yeah.
Because you can
yeah.
feel it. You can
wow.
feel your vibration raising. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that's amazing. You
Isn't
know,
that cool?
I was thinking, as you were talking about the physiology, what a simple little change can do. To a simple little action, if we remember to do it.
Yeah.
We have to remember, and I guess that gets at your thing you said earlier about we have to be pretty frustrated with the situation we're in to remember to take one little action, and then that leads to another action and so forth. And sometimes being in that deep place, that frustrated place, we have an expression in my community called when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Exactly.
You just
exactly.
hit that wall and you're just tired of being in this place and you're just going to do something about it, whatever. You just look for some kind of action to take to start you moving. And that's
yep.
exactly what you're sharing.
Yep.
Now, you make it sound like then we have a choice about being enthusiastic. Now, I think of this more as a result of something that happens to me, but can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, that would indicate that you grew up in the same culture we all did, that, you know, this sort of mentality that we are the victims of what happens outside of us. You know, that, I mean, that's really where we were raised to think, or what we were raised to think. And my absolute belief is that it is a choice in every moment. And in fact, my, you know, the bottom line of the work that I do is the very first thing I do is whatever it takes to get a person into a position of recognizing their personal control and their personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a way that I heard this said in talking about, you know, I mean, the idea that I'm getting towards is this fact that we actually do create our own reality, which
yes.
through the learning that I've done, I mean, I always sort of accepted that, but through the learning that I've done, now I get why that is, scientifically why that is. And that's
yes.
that's actually a piece that I teach. I'm going to actually be talking about that on an interview Thursday, and I'm going to be doing a complete free teleseminar on that within the next 2 weeks. So again,
wow.
if you're listeners, go to my website and sign up. I'll make sure they get all the information about how to
wow.
go on to those calls or get those recordings.
Okay. Now, what's the name of the free teleseminar that's coming up in 2 weeks?
It's called Just Who Is in Charge Here Anyway?
Okay. I like that.
Because in my belief, you are in charge. You are fully in charge. And the piece that really resonates for me around that is that there's, you know, there's really, I mean, there is science to back it up. You can understand how it works. And at the end of the day, nobody's going to prove whether or not we create our own reality. You know,
no.
The thing that happens, though, for me, is that if I act as if it's true, I get tremendously better results in my life.
Yes. Yes.
Because I get the power. I take my own power and say, well, if I'm controlling this, if I'm responsible for creating this, then there's something I can do about it.
Exactly. And I want to speak to that with an example from my own experience. So you mentioned that we are raised in a certain way in our culture to expect things or to believe that we don't have control. And a few years ago, I decided to remodel my kitchen and family room before I retired so that everything would be the way I wanted it before I retired. And in searching for a contractor and, you know, looking for the various people and things I was going to need to do this, everybody who talked to me said, oh, my God, you're about to go into remodeling. Everybody gave me a horror story and shared their negative experiences with this. And said, I feel sorry for you. And I said to them, I am going to have a positive experience with my remodeling project.
Good for you.
I decided that I'm going to have a positive experience. I am not going to go into this anticipating and creating a negative experience, because that's what everybody, I didn't talk to one person who had a positive experience. I mean, just all the horror stories, the delays, the workmen that don't show up, the this, the that. Do you know, I had such a wonderful experience that I took photographs before and after as they were tearing things down, and I created a CD with PowerPoint-type show and narration to give to people. Because now when people ask me, you got your house remodeled, didn't you? What was your experience like? I give them the CD.
I love it. No wonder you're the queen of Color Yourself Happy.
I'm the queen. I gave them a list of the workmen, the various people who worked, and I sent a copy to the contractor also so that he could share that with his potential customers if he wanted to. But I just thought it was important enough to document and to share with people so that they could be encouraged to create your positive experience before you start. Don't go into something expecting everything to be horrible. And I think that's exactly what we do when you talk about the choice we have to go into something expecting, like you said about the errand runner. I believe our subconscious is neutral. It just creates whatever it is we say.
That's exactly right. Oh, Flora, I so honor you for doing that, for doing all the work that you do. But that's such a beautiful example of deciding to make it different, mm-hmm. making it different, and then carrying that out into the world and making a huge difference with it. That's obviously what your life is about, and I so honor you for that. Thank you.
Thank you
for that.
So very much. Thank you. Now, what specifically changes in a person's life when they really become enthusiastic? What is it that they do differently when they move from this lack of energy to action to enthusiasm?
Oh, I love that question. You know, they're the people that are making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people that are making things happen. They're still being happy, they're fun to be around, and they're being productive. They're doing just what you did. You were enthusiastic about your project, and so you created this whole wave of change in the world,
yeah.
You know? And the other thing that I love about enthusiastic people and being around enthusiastic people is they sort of live in sort of a drama-free zone,
mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just so delightful. They're so motivated by their purpose that they're not requiring or, you know, even accepting the cattle prod approach to get going, and they're not buying into any drama around it. Like, you didn't buy into drama around your remodel. You had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the other things I love that Eckhart Tolle pointed out when he was talking about enthusiasm is that from the outside, for people who are not actually in that enthusiastic state, if they're just watching it from the outside,
mm-hmm.
it may look like the enthusiastic person is really stressed out. Mm-hmm. You know, I can imagine that when my friends look at me sometimes, they go, you're telling me you got up at 3 o'clock and you're working and you're fine. What a crazy life, you know. But right at the moment, that's where my enthusiasm is. I am loving my work. I get the rest. In fact, one of the other things about enthusiastic people is they actually need less sleep.
Yes.
And
wow.
I didn't find the exact quote, but somewhere I have heard in the Abraham Hicks materials them address this exact thing, that we actually need sleep to relax the drama and the mind chatter and the stuff that's going on. And so when you, that's one of the pieces of what happens also when you do this clearing work, is you get rid of all the little gremlins on your shoulder that have got all this stuff to say about what you should do and what you should regret and yada, yada, yada. And so when you clear that out and you're not dealing with that, you actually need less sleep.
That's interesting. When you were saying that, it reminded me of when I was in the doctoral program. I completely redid my sleep schedule in order to accommodate raising children and studying.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to bed with the children at 8 o'clock because I was too tired by then to do any effective studying. And then I would wake up 1 or 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And study from 2 to 6 when I could have concentrated time. Everybody's asleep. The world's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then by 6, it was time to get the kids up, dressed, ready for school, and take them to school, and then I'm off to classes. But it was a crazy-looking schedule to other people, but it was what worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that we have to caution people about when you do move into your energy and your enthusiasm is not being affected or let other people's assessment of what you're doing deter you. Because they can't understand what you're doing. Excuse me.
You know what?
I have a
flip chart in my office. And
uh-huh.
colored markers, just because I love to think in color and I love to write big sometimes when I'm really in the flow and creating. And right now, what is on my flip chart in yellow, orange, and red, in big letters, is be who you are, not who you think others want you to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Because others are just reflecting their discomfort with
exactly.
not doing what they want to do.
And it doesn't have to work for them to be on your schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
great, you do what you want to do. This is what I want to do. And go on with your life. But it is something that people need to be aware of, because otherwise they can get easily discouraged.
Exactly. I actually have a remodeling story similar to that, where we were remodeling, actually building a new kitchen, and I had heard so many times, oh, I don't want to be able to see the dirty dishes from where I'm sitting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that I had totally taken that in as, you know, something that was important to me. And what I wanted was this big open room, because that's
yes.
where everybody gathers. It's a big old country kitchen, and I like to have the whole party right there. And finally one day I said, you know what? I could care less if I see the dirty dishes from where I'm sitting. That's
mm-hmm.
not my... That's somebody else's. I totally picked up somebody
else's
thing there.
I'm the same way when it comes to having guests for holidays and stuff. Excuse me. Afterwards, some people, the hostess, they want to wash the dishes, clean the kitchen, get everything spick and span while their guests are entertaining themselves, or if they have a husband and family, the rest of the family's with the guests, and they're in the kitchen. When we finish eating and we walk out of the kitchen or we move to the family room or whatever, I'm going too.
Exactly.
And
right. Let me see what matters here.
What I learned about dirty dishes is that they will wait for you. They're so patient. They're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to clean themselves. They're just going to wait for you. So whenever you get there, they'll still be there. So
yeah.
why do I to spend my time when I have company, wasting that time on dishes? That doesn't make sense. So that's exactly,
exactly.
what you're saying. That's funny. The this all makes me wonder if being more enthusiastic can improve my health too.
Wow, you know, that's a really insightful question because there's some amazing science now. I'm a big follower of Bruce Lipton.
Who, oh, yes.
You follow Bruce? Oh,
yes.
My gosh. What an amazing thing that he has actually proven. I mean, if you want to talk about the ultimate thing that we are a victim of in our cultural understanding of who we are in our bodies, at the bottom line, we would all, you know, or, you know, I would have in the past said, I'm a, you know, yeah, my DNA, my genes, that's something I'm stuck with. Well,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Lipton has actually proven that that is not true.
Ah.
That our genes are affected, absolutely affected by our thoughts.
Wow.
It's
you know
incredible.
What?
Our bodies can be changed as we retrain our thinking. And when you're no longer holding yourself as a victim of your genetics, it kind of eliminates the concept of victim altogether, you know? Just
that has a big impact on disease and things that we think are incurable and so forth.
Exactly.
Whoa.
You know, I was actually listening to him the other day. I can't quote this study, but it's in his work, that if you look at the genetics of identical twins, when they're born, they're their genetics are identical, and after they are in the environment, their DNA shifts and it's no longer identical.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That our thoughts actually change our DNA.
Hmm. So it all begins with our thoughts.
It all begins with our thoughts. And as Mike Dooley says, my favorite guy in the world, you know Mike Dooley of Tut.com? Oh, my God, I love him. That's his website, Tut, TUT.com.
Okay, I got to go look that up. Anyway,
yeah.
What's he
say? Thoughts become things. You know,
yes.
I mean, it's not his invention, but he's just got a lot of great stuff to say. He's the one that creates these notes from the universe. You can sign up for this free service that every morning you get this really fun little note from the universe in your email. Oh, they're so great.
I'm
yeah, totally. Go sign up. They're one of my favorite things to get in the morning.
What sorts of people do you typically work with so that our listeners can decide if they want to work with you?
Well, typically I have almost exclusively worked with women, which is not a state. Well, it's just what has happened. Generally, always on the outside, their lives appear pretty good. You know, they're starting from a pretty good place.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, they've got a level of disconnect and disengagement that's really grown to the point that they're determined to change it. Sometimes it's around relationships. Sometimes it's about health or weight or finances. Often, a lot of my main peeps are like 45 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all sort of hitting this point where, you know, there's not a lot of patience left anymore for not getting it right.
Yes.
You know, we want to start getting it right now. I want patience, and I want it right now. So, yeah, and it's often around relationship issues.
Now, excuse me, what's the transformation in people's lives when they work with you?
You know, what I've really spent the last couple months really looking at that because I need to be able to, you know, it's hard sometimes to put language to what it is that I do. And what has really come out is that the fundamental transformation is a deep sense of trust in themselves and trust in the universe.
Wow.
And that allows them to know what they're here to do, what they most want to do, and really allows them to be who they want to be. I mean, it's the neurological repatterning, in very short description, is it's kind of like Michelangelo and what he said about how he sees a sculpture when he's standing there at a block of marble.
Yes.
He sees the sculpture and he chips away everything that doesn't belong.
Exactly.
And so the neurological repatterning is working on all these beliefs that we've picked up all our life that aren't ours. so that you get down, chipping away all the stuff that isn't yours, so you get down to who you are. And once you really get in touch with who you are and how strong and powerful you are, Katie, bar the door.
Oh,
you know, show's over. You're on your way.
What's the most remarkable transformation you witnessed?
Oh, you know, I guess I would say there's a woman that I worked with several months ago, and it was just before she was going to see her family. She actually came to me because she felt like she was losing her son to some choices he was making that were sort of, you know, he was just in resistance to her, and they had always had a close relationship. She wasn't in a good relationship herself, so she was really seeing a lot of relationship stuff. And in asking her questions about it, the first thing I do is sort of nutshell, well, what's the core thing we're dealing with here? And she got to, you know, I'm feeling rigid and judgmental, and what I want to feel is generous and light and flexible. And it's just been so fun. Once in a while, sometimes clients just sort of go on and do their own thing and go off into the world, but once in a while I get one who really just checks in, oh God, I got to tell you what happened now, and watching her, you know, coming home from visiting with her family, her daughter-in-law even commented, oh my God, it's so much of a pleasure to be around you, you know.
Wow.
And it's not like everything was perfect while she was there,
no,
but she was able to have the clarity in the conversation. She was able to be in a generous spot. She actually, at the point we were working together, she figured out that she, at a fundamental level, didn't believe that it was possible for her to find. She didn't believe the man existed that she wanted to be in relationship with. So, of course, I mean, when you talk about creating your own reality, you know, what are you going to get when that's what you're, I mean, it was not a conscious belief, but she got to it as an unconscious belief. So she called the other day and said, oh my God, I just got to tell you, I was at this gathering and I saw a man who, you know, it's not like I'm going to necessarily connect with him or anything else, but I saw the possibility. I saw it in the flesh. There is, it does exist.
It exists. It's possible.
It's possible.
Whoa. We have about 3 minutes left to the show. I want to ask you to tell the listeners, what's the first steps that they can take when they want to know more about your program?
Well, like I said, the best thing is just to go to the website and sign up. You can just sign up for my newsletter if you want, but what I'd really suggest you do is go to that other page. Go to scoutwilkins.com/happy, and that will take you to, when you register for that recording, you're going to get a recording about trust. That's a free MP3 download. And then in about a week, you're going to get what I'm creating that I'm having a tremendous amount of fun creating for your listeners, a special product that's for free. Also, I'll be sending that.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
And you can download my ebook, which is it's got the same title as a teleseminar I'm doing in a couple of weeks, just Who Is in Charge Here Anyway. And it has all kinds of explanations and tips and, you know, how all this works, why it works. So, I just would send you to that website, scoutwilkins.com/happy.
Oh, good. That's so wonderful. Thank you for being so thoughtful to create that. I am so happy that I've had a chance to talk to you today, and I know that the listeners have been enlightened. I certainly have, encouraged and empowered by today's episode. And thank you for sharing your own personal story, as well as how you transformed yourself. And you certainly convinced me that I could do the same. And
you
anyone
as well, yeah.
So thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And I invite you to join me again next Monday, September 14th. We're going to have another exciting show for you at 11 a.m. Let me remind you to go over to coloryourlifehappy.com and go over to scoutwilkins.com/happy to get your free download. I'm your host, Flora Brown, from Color Your Life Happy, and the radio show that is designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you from Anaheim, California. Have a blessed week, a happy holiday, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life.
coloryourlifehappy.com.